Hey, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online tonight to our Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. We're in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, and that's where we'll be this evening. It's good to be in the Lord's house, good to be with all of you that are watching online tonight. We thank the Lord for you. We're in the first chapter and the third verse. That is where we're going to begin and read down through the seventh verse of the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything. And that's quite a statement. We need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, these great and precious promises, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now as we've studied through this, we have first of all studied about what it means when he says his divine power. And that is at the point of conversion, of being born from above and adopted into the family of God, being justified with God and regenerated by the Spirit of God, there is a power of the Holy Spirit that is within us that gives us everything we need for life internally and godliness externally. And so we talked about the life that we have internally is the new creation, the new nature that we have that is through Jesus Christ that leads us and enables us to live a life outwardly that reflects Christ, our godliness in us because of who it is that lives within us through our knowledge of Him, Christ, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Again, glory and goodness. Glory internal, goodness external. And so we are changed internally that produces a life of godliness or goodness externally. And this is what he's talking about there. Through these, as we studied this morning, through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises. And we said the word precious here means unequaled, of unequaled value. That the promises that we have in Christ are of unequal value to everything else that we could receive. It is above and beyond anything else that we could receive in life. It is the gift of eternal life, a kind of life that we have through Jesus Christ that is unequal in what it is in us and through us and into eternity because of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we were studying about and talking about this morning as we dealt with that. And then let me remind you that we all tie all this together, and what we're going to study tonight as well, which begins in verse 5, all this ties together with what he has to say in verse 12 of chapter 1. So I will always remind you of these things, of the richness of your salvation, the potential of your salvation. I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, So Peter says, I know you've already heard this. I know you already know this. But I'm going to remind you of this over and over and over again because it is so important to your Christian life. And so when we read it in 2 Peter, it is there to remind us of what? Of the richness of our salvation, of the potential of our salvation that we have in Christ through the precious, unequal promises that He has given us through Christ our Savior. Now then, if you look at verse 5, you come down to there. Before I get there, because we mentioned and studied about this morning too. So that through them, what? The very unequal, precious promises, you may participate in the divine nature. So you in Christ, myself in Christ, we have a nature that we never had before. When I was born from above, when I was justified and regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, or as Nate preached this morning, when I was circumcised in my heart through the work of God, I received a nature, I became spiritually alive for the first time in my life. And that is the new nature that makes me a new creation that he's talking about that we have in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we participate in the divine nature. That is what he is telling us in the Word of God as we see this. And so we have all the resources that are there. We have them in Christ. We have them from the point of justification and regeneration on in our Christian life. It's not a question of we have them. It is a question of do we submit our will to God's will so that He can use these things in our life to produce godliness in our life through the life that we receive in Jesus Christ. And so that's the whole point that Peter is trying to bring out here and that we see for us in the book of 2 Peter. The whole point is, what is my Christian life going to be like if I have all these resources through Christ in my life? Am I molding myself and my will to God's will so that He can work through my life with His divine power for the precious promises that He's made to us so that it might produce a life of godliness? And that's what we see when we look at 2 Peter. Now then, when you come to verse 5, and let me get my notes caught up here. But in verse 5, what does he say? For this very reason. Now he just went back to what he's already said. For the reason of this, that he's given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Now he's going to tell us what we need to do with the resources God has given us. With the resources God has given us. And as he does that, there is a part that we have in our sanctification. I'm saved, and I cannot lose my salvation because I'm saved by grace, totally through a work of God. It is grace, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. So I am born again, I am justified, I am regenerated, I am a child of God, I will always be a child of God, but through the power of God and the resources that God has put within me, He's wanting me to go beyond what I have in my Christian life. And you hear me say it a lot of times, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to be stretched in your Christian life from where you are beyond where you are. So what does he tell us then? For this very reason. What? And then he begins to tell us what we need to add on in our life as a Christian. And that's what he's talking about here. He says in verse 5 of chapter 1, for this very reason, make every effort. Oh. Now that's something you do. Make every effort. That's something I do. Make every effort. I have the power. I have everything within me that God has given me for life internally, godliness externally. Now, what do I do with it? What do you do with it? What are you going to do with the resources God has given you in Christ? What are you going to do with it? Are you just going to sit and soak? Are you going to go on from where you are as a Christian because of the resources God has given you through His divine power and the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within you? What are you going to do about it? See, that's the question. That's when you come to verse 5, and he says, for this very reason. Now let's see what he says. Make every effort. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Sadly, a lot of times I'm not. Are you in the same boat? Huh? He says, make every effort. In other words, I should dedicate myself with the resources God has given me to live out this new life that I have in the power of the Holy Spirit, to add to what God has given me in my external life so that they might see Christ in me and I might fulfill the will of God for my life. God's got a plan for Bill here. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for Henry, Diana. He's got a plan for her, Brigida, Noah, Nate, Judy. Even Jason. God's got a plan. Are we making every effort, submitting our will to God's will, that we might allow Him to carry out that plan through our life? Or are we just sitting and soaking and watching the world go by? You can answer that, I can't. So what does he say? Make every effort to add to what? Your faith. Make every effort to add to your faith. You see, that's a common denominator. That's how you got saved. Faith. That's how you live out your Christian life. By faith. By faith. And to me, today I went back. And y'all got a thing in your house with all kinds of pictures in it that you've collected over the years from, I mean, I've got some pictures I don't want anybody to see. Pictures that we've collected over the years of myself when I was a child, and my mom and dad took pictures of me I wish they hadn't have took. And different things that we have, that we've, it's kind of a flashback and a record of your life as you grew up and you grew older. And I had pictures there of when we moved from the old church building over here, pictures of some of our church members that have gone on to be with the Lord, and different things like that. And it was just like walking down memory lane. But as I walked down memory lane looking at these pictures, one thing was a constant. What was the constant? God was always faithful. God was always faithful. I remember when we moved over here from the old building, Paul Warsher called me one day from Austin, Texas, and said, "Brother Jack, I need to talk to you when I come home." I said, "Sure." And he came and we talked for probably over 2 hours in my study, for over 2 hours. And I told the deacons at that time when I met with him, I said, "If God raises up a prophet in my lifetime, I've just met with him." I was that sure that he had God's touch, calling, and hold on his life that you could absolutely see it. And so we ended up sending him to South America with very little, really. So where did he go? He went by faith. And as it worked out, he would call me sometimes in the middle of the night because our time was different. And it would be morning over there and I'd be in the middle of the sleep over here. But sometimes he would call me. And at that time you could buy property in South America. You could buy property for $1,500. You could buy quite a bit of property for $2,500. And he would say, "We have an opportunity to buy this property in Lima, and we can build a church on it if we buy this property." And I would say, "Give me next Sunday. Give me next Sunday, and we'll raise the money." And at that time, we were living in this building, new building, and paying it off. And we were living from one Sunday to the next on the money that was coming in at that time. And so I would go before the church on Sunday morning and I would say, "Paul has called me and we have an opportunity to buy this property to build a church on in Lima." And I would say, "We need $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 or $2,500, and we're going to raise it this morning." And by the time that service was over, we'd have the money to buy the property. And that's the way it went, on and on and on and on, as churches were being built in South America. So what did we have to do? Live by faith. And that was some of the most joyous times in my life. Because when you live by faith and you know that it's not going to happen unless God and God's people come through and you see it happen, it just strengthens your faith. And so we went from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. Heart cry grew. And finally, with missionaries across the world almost. But it all started at one man, one place in Austin, Texas. And it started through that one man, one place in Austin, Texas, to a people at a country church in the middle of a cornfield where people came, and you know what they did? They just believed God. They just believed God. And every step, if you really look at it as a Christian, it's all governed by faith. It's all governed by faith. We look at the world today, and I've listen to different commentaries and heard people say, "Oh, the World War III, the world's coming to an end. Israel has invaded Iran, and the United States has dropped bombs on Iran. What in the world are we going to do? Well, we're going to do just what we've always done. We're going to live by faith. Because God is a sovereign God. He isn't surprised by anything. He knows everything that is not only happening, but is going to happen. And He is in control of all things. And so we just trust and live each day by faith in the one that saved us, the one that keeps us, and the one that's going to deliver us into His kingdom one day. And each day we put one foot in front of the other and we go on, going on, and we just hold on to the truth of the promises of God and the power of God that we have in Jesus Christ. And we, what do we find when we live by faith and we just believe God and we go on that way from day to day to day to day? We find peace. And we not only find peace, but we find joy in the midst of that peace. A common denominator in everything in God's kingdom is faith. It's believing God above everything else. Believing God above everything else. Nate, you got in here a little late tonight. But I was going to give that man a unsubscribed, non-paid commercial this evening because he did a fantastic job preaching this morning. He did. Bring the big picture to life, Old Testament, New Testament, bring it all together, because when you see the whole picture and your worldview ties in with who Almighty God is and the sovereignty of God, guess what? You have faith. You have faith. And you have a faith that is not shaken. And that faith that is not shaken brings you peace, because you know the best is yet to come. And you know God always keeps His promises. And you know God has had a plan from before the creation of the world. And now He has made you a part of that plan. And that's just the most fantastic news I ever heard of. So we rejoice tonight. We rejoice in who God is. We rejoice in what God has done. And we rejoice in what God is going to do. Because of our faith. Because we believe God above everything else. Trials and tribulation. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. We all know how that's like, don't we? And as you grow older, you understand more and more what it's like. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And forever. So what do? We just believe God. I had an illustration here I was going to use, but I'm not going to use it because I ain't got time. So you just missed out on that. You didn't listen fast enough. Okay. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now, a better word for goodness, I think, is virtue. It is virtue. Add to faith virtue. Virtue is a life of excellence. It is a life of excellence that God has saved you to live. A life of excellence. That's what the word virtue means. Excellent means that the best thing a Christian can do is to fulfill all that a Christian can be. To fulfill all that a Christian can be. It is the excellence of a man or woman to be all that that man or woman can be in Christ. When he talks about goodness or virtue, that's what he's talking about. So what is he saying to Jack Russell? Jack, you make every effort. You make every effort to live a life of excellence. To live a life of excellence. You add to your faith a life of excellence, being everything that Christ saved you to be. Now, let me tell you something. That takes effort. There's a lot of things you would do that you won't do if you want to live a life of excellence. There's a lot of things you need to do that you wouldn't do to lead a life of excellence. And it's not easy. And it's not easy. But the more you understand about the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ, the easier it becomes. The more you understand about the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ, the easier it becomes. That's why what Brother Nate is preaching on Sunday is so important. And I'll say this to you people that's watching online. If you want to hear a true word from God and understand who God really is and how God really works, then you not only need to watch online, you need to come hear this man preach. Because you will hear the absolute truth from the Word of God. Now, I wasn't paid to say that. Okay, so virtue is the excellence of life that we live. Now then, what does he say? And to virtue, knowledge. And to virtue, knowledge. Now that's just what we were talking about before. It is a knowledge that is grounded in who Jesus Christ is and who... Not only who he is, but who he is in you. Who he is in you. And what he can do in your life. And it is good to see Janet here tonight, isn't it? Very much so. Amen, honey. We're glad you are here. So, it is a life that we live. It is a life that we live. A virtuous life. A life of excellence, fulfilling all of the highest potential of God or Christ in us because of the knowledge that we have of God in the face of Christ Jesus. That knowledge builds our faith. That faith leads us to live virtuously in a fallen world. And we add to that virtuous life, even greater knowledge of who God is and what God has done for us and what God can do through us in our life as a believer. And we go on from there as well. And to knowledge, self-control. What does it mean not to have self-control? It means to be controlled by our passion. To be controlled by our lusts, our passions. No self-control. What does it mean to have self-control? It means to have discipline. That your passions don't rule your life, but the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus and the life you have in Him controls the passions that are in your life. And so, again, I have to understand I'm saved by grace, not by works. But God has saved me to live a life of virtue. God has saved me that I might have a greater knowledge of Him. In fact, I've told you this many times, Before I was saved, I was raised in church. Grew up in church. Taught a Sunday school class in church. Before I was saved. This book was just a book. That's all it was to me. Did I know what it said? Yeah. Did I really care about what it said? No. But I could teach it just like I could a textbook. But the moment I became saved, the moment I became adopted into the family of God, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and as Nate said this morning, circumcised in my heart, this book became alive. Through the Holy Spirit, I understood the truths of God that I never understood before. The Bible says that to the unregenerated man, it is foolishness. But to us who have been born again and born from above, it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God in our life. As we feed on the Word of God, we believe in who God is, we believe in what God says, and we conform our will to God's will, something absolutely wonderful happens. We're blessed. We're blessed. And we become more like Christ. And that's what he's talking about here. So we add to our knowledge self-control. Self-control. He says, you know you have wisdom applied when you know you have self-control. It means to control the passions rather than being controlled by the passions. To break the will of sin with self-discipline. And so that's what he says we should add to what he's already given us. Now, this next one is a dandy. And to self-control, perseverance. And when he says perseverance, let's put it this way. It means to persevere with courage against all odds. To persevere with courage against all odds. The world is against you. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where Satan is the prince of the power of the air. We live in a world where most of the world will not agree with what you believe or why you believe it. We live in that kind of world today. So, what does it take? It takes every effort to have the courage to live out the life that God has saved you to live. And believe me, it takes courage. It does. I was thinking about this today, and I was thinking about a man that lives in our subdivision down there. And I've got to go see him. I've got to go talk to him about the Lord. And I know that his family doesn't appreciate that. But I know that he's not getting better. He's getting worse. I know in my ministry, there have been many times I have gone into a home with a man with a gun that was threatening to kill himself. I have walked into all kinds of situations you could ever imagine. And most of the time, I did not know what I would say or what I would do. I just knew that that was God's will for me to go. But to my delight and to my encouragement, if I would go, God would already arrive before me and give me the words to say and the right things to do so that they might be encouraged by the truth of the Word of Almighty God. Every time. Every time. Nobody said the Christian life is easy. It isn't. But it's glorious. It's glorious. And so he says, persevere against all odds. And it'll take courage. Get out of your comfort zone. It'll take courage for you to go from where you are to where God wants you to be. It will. It'll take courage in your life. And to godliness, godliness, which he's talking about now, this word kind of means, not like we think it might, but reverence or worship. Reverence or worship. And to live a life of worship. Now, how can we, you say, well, I worship on Sundays. But your life should be a day of worship 7 days a week. You living out your life with an understanding in awe of who God is and what God is doing. There ought to be, I don't care who you are, know how long you've been saved, you know?
2 years.
22?
A little under two.
Yes, sir. Okay. A little under two. I've been saved for 50. 50 years. Maybe 52. I'm not certain. Or it's 50 or 52. Okay. In my life, from the time I was saved until now, there's what I call spiritual markers in my life. It is where God has showed up and God has done something in my life that I look at it and I say, that was God. That was God. No doubt about it. That was God. And each one of those spiritual markers brought me a little further along in what God saved me to be. And you'll have the same thing when you look back in your life. There'll be times in your life where God showed up and you say without a doubt, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that was God. That was God. I'll give you for instance, and then I got to quit because Caleb's coming over. Myself, my son, and my wife were fishing below Smithland Dam. I can't remember what year it was, but I hadn't been the pastor at Waldo too long when that happened, maybe 5 or 6 years. You say, well, that sounds like a long time. Not if you've been here about 40. And we were sucked into the number one gate at Smithland Lock and the whirlpool. And so in that gate there were logs that were like 8 foot long and probably that big around that were hung up in that whirlpool. And our boat would shift from side to side. After it shoved us, rammed us into the steel gate, it rammed us into the concrete wall on the side of the lock, the outer lock wall, and it rammed us into the concrete wall on the outside. And then it brought us on around as we come around the other side. Then we had the logs underneath us, so our boat tilted up on its side, back and forth. And so we'd hit the steel gate, we'd hit the concrete wall, and then we would come around and we would be over those logs that were underneath the boat, and the boat would be tilted up. And so myself, my wife, and my son, my entire family could have been wiped out very easily. Very easily. There was one man on the river that knew what to do, and he's Lori's dad, Jerry Abel. He knew what to do. Now you tell me if this is a God thing. He happened to be right behind our boat when we went up to catch bait, to fish with. And that's when the motor quit and we got sucked into the number one gate at Smithland Lock and Dam, which nobody comes out of alive. And he took off in his boat, run around the end of the lock wall, pulled a rope that he knew to pull to get the lock master, and he said, "You've got to shut down number one gate. There's a family in there and they're going to die." They shut down number one gate and a boat come in and towed us out, because when they shut the gate, the whirlpool stopped and the water lifted us up to the river level and we were saved. Do you think that was a God thing? Right on time. Do you think that increased my faith? Absolutely. Absolutely. You got markers in your life where God showed up. And when God showed up, you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that was Him. And every time He showed up,